Hello, welcome to the Transmedia Podcast. Today we want to share with you the talk that Paul Irwin, the creator of the award-winning interactive drama series Trilife, gave for Conductor Conference this year. He talks about his experience writing and producing this Choose Your Own Adventure film that addresses social issues. So here you have it.
Hi, my name is Paul Irwin, and I'm the director and creator of Trilife. Trilife's an online interactive drama series. I used to love reading them adventure books, the Choose Your Own Adventure books, when I was a kid. And that's what basically Trilife is. We took that concept and created an actual filmed interactive drama. My background was youth and community work based, and when I was working for a large charity, I tried to set up a Facebook page for a young dads group that were facilitating, and the organisation was just absolutely terrified to engage with young people online. But I just thought, like, wow, it's crazy that they'd send youth workers out into a park on a Friday night to go and engage with young people who are stoned or drinking or whatever. But, like, the fear of actually engaging with young people through a mobile device, like this, the internet just holds so much stigma, especially for these big organisations. So we came up with the idea for Trilife back in 2008. It took us till 2011 to get to secure the funding. If you look at a feature film, it's probably 95 pages of script. The first episode for that trailer there, that was 455 pages. In that episode, you follow a young character who's 17-year-old, and you've got she gets offered to go to a party the night before final A-level exam, and it's up to you if you stay at home or go to the party. If you stay at home, she has a flashback to a sex ed class, so the user knows that the character's got contraception, and a boyfriend will come round and basically try to have sex with you. So it's up to you if you say yes or no. If you say no, sometimes he's fine. Sometimes he'll pester you and pester you. It's up to you if you bow down to the peer pressure or not. Sometimes you'll go to the party and shag your best mate, so you've got that to deal with the next day, and that's just taken out of your control. If you do have sex with them, do you use a condom, yes or no? If you don't, she goes to the exam the next day, and at that point she's pretty worried about being pregnant. So one of our friends takes her to a STI clinic, and we filmed 9 different variations of that scene. So you've got a different, every time you go through, in theory, you could end up in a very different place. So you've got a chance of pregnancy, chlamydia, gonorrhea, syphilis, herpes, genital warts, crabs. Or you can get the all clear. And what Trilife's about is teaching young people the consequences of their actions. So even if they get the all clear, the sexual health worker will take the time to engage and sort of say, like, you've been really lucky this time, you really need to think about your long-term contraception. If you go to the party, your friends will come round and offer you alcohol before you go out. If you consume alcohol before you go out and then consume more alcohol at the party, you can still have consensual sex with one of the characters at the party, but we take away the option of it being protected because you're preloaded on drink and not thinking about using a condom. When you get to the party, you get offered a 50-50 chance of either pills or weed, and it's up to you if you say yes or no. And if you do say yes, you've then got a 50-50 chance of either being instantly ill or being okay. But even if the character is okay, if you smoke weed and you're fine, the next day she turns her alarm off, skips breakfast, forgets her pen, and doesn't perform as well in the exam. If you take a pill and you're fine, like, the exam's just completely wrote off the next day. She's just got her head down on the table. So the first episode was released on by BBC Click, and we very quickly gained 100,000 Facebook fans. I've got some images that I'll put on the background. So the development process, the whole process really, like, Trilife is completely created by young people or young writers. We're just 3 students that had left university. We went and got, like, third year hair and beauty students to do makeup and costume. Fashion students, and we just got out and just found as many young people as possible to help create it. What we didn't realise is when we were creating the first episode is that we probably created like one of the most complex drama series ever done. It took about a year to de-risk it for health authorities, and like we spent a long time going around trying to find people that would like get on board with it. The reason why the character in the first episode experienced so much is because we didn't know if the next bit of money would come from like the teenage pregnancy unit or drug and alcohol or wherever. So the character, just everything happens to her, basically. So we eventually got a commission for the second episode, and we came down to London. And we worked with inner city gangs, and the second episode was all about sexual exploitation of young girls by gang members. So we worked with Lewisham Borough Council, NHS, Drug Action Team, Youth Offending Team. And basically the process is we'll engage with about 30 health professionals or professionals like police, community mental health team. And then we say to them, right, what is the worst case scenario? So for episode two, it was young girls being asked to deliver drugs, deliver guns for gang members, getting arrested, or end up getting stabbed or shot. And the best case scenario for the character, for a young woman in that position, was obviously to get some support and get out of it. That basically forms the framework for our episodes. We'll then go and workshop about 1,000 young people. And it's a lot easier for us to get in and engage with young people because we're not going in and talking about like sort of like chlamydia or just like the normal stuff that youth workers and health workers and stuff will. We're going in with like the idea of creating an interactive drama, and they can be part of it. So the young people add the culture and the language. We then use like social media to for auditions, all the music, absolutely everything is all sourced. It's all young people. We'll get into schools, colleges, you name it, we'll get in there, and we'll just try and unearth raw talent. So when we created episode two, it got that was released at the BFI. It was just absolutely amazing seeing episode two, 65-foot screen, because you get so used to viewing it on your mobile phone or like on a laptop, and it was a fantastic experience for the young people. A lot of the young people that we've worked with went on to work with like BBC Wolfblood and like some other major BAFTA-winning television shows, which has been great. When we launched episode two, we went straight. We got commissioned for episode three, and the Facebook following. Once we got in the BFI, we had 200,000 young people as Facebook fans. It was starting to give us a little bit of leverage, and we're starting to de-risk it. With episode three, which is due for release next month, we're now creating like an extra section to the website. So we've probably put about £130,000 into the actual website game engine itself to be able to hold all of them random occurrences and pick the decisions. But now what we're doing is with the footage is we're editing all of the possible branching narrative down into linear stories and creating educational material. So a teacher can click on a scene and we'll know that the character is going to deliver the drugs, deliver the gun, get arrested, and then there'll be like a load of workshops. The third episode's all around mental health, and it's the first time you can pick from two characters. It's let's show you the trailer. I'm not quite sure what's up there. It's pretty horrendous, that bit there, like, you know. When I went and presented this to the commissioners, that like obviously worked on the script development with me, and hadn't seen the end process. And when we sat down, the room was silent. There was only eight people sat there, and I went through a couple of storylines. And I turned around and I was thinking, how do I give us some feedback? You know what I mean? I couldn't, like, they were just all stone faced. And we went through the second one. I turned around and I realised like six of them were sat there crying their eyes out watching it. So it's. It's going to be interesting to see what the young people make of it when it comes out. We're just about to be commissioned for the fourth episode. Just with the nature of like how we've like sort of went about and like engaged with the very people that we want to try and target. The Facebook page is going crazy at the minute. So like we've now got 1.5 million fans. In the last week, it's added 164,000 people to the page. In the last 7 days, we've reached 171 million people. 171 million people seen something related to Trilife, and 17.5 million people have engaged directly with the Facebook page. The whole social media campaign's got like a life of its own, really. We've concentrated on Facebook to start off with, but we've just had like a full social media review done, and we're going to be branching out and doing like sort of behind the scenes stuff with, and again, it'll all be generated by the young people who are creating the episodes. They'll be taking over the social media accounts. So once we got to the third episode, that was like three sets of cast, that was three sets of crew, it's three sets of young people that we've workshopped. Like, it starts to get a lot of momentum, and it's those people that have like shared the work with their friends and then their families and the brothers and sisters. And it's like, it's quite weird because like, I've got family over in Canada and like there's people over there, like my cousin sort of saying like, oh, someone's like sharing tri-life over here, and someone's granddad lives in Thailand and he was posting tri-life material as well. Trying to think what else.
What's amazing about this work, right, is it's like hard hitting. So you can see that like the young people it's trying to reach them, like they totally get it. But for the people that are funding it, like not like our experience has been that anything that's relevant to the kids gets a no because it doesn't look like public health information. So how have you addressed that?
Well, we just try to keep anything to do with the NHS and the police completely away from it. I think if you look at, like, especially with episode two with the inner city gangs, like the health authority and the police were just like just not getting anywhere with like that target group of young people. They were really hard to reach. It's a lot easier for us just to go in and create something, and because they're generating the content, it's real life. And because it's the face-to-face work as that are forming the framework for the storyline, it's got like a really gritty feel about it, and it's the workers know what's going on, so then the young people can instantly relate to the framework of the storyline. And I think instead of say like Lewisham Council would print a chlamydia leaflet, and it would cost £60,000 for that run. For about £100,000, we could go in and actually quantify, like, how many people have read a leaflet. I know Public Health England had spent a couple of million pounds printing chlamydia advice on beer mats. And, like, when I'm out having a drink, the last thing I'm doing is looking at a beer mat and thinking I need to go for a chlamydia test. what we can do, I think, is justify the amount of people that are playing it. We can have a look at the behaviour and what choices young people are making. We've now got Oxford University who are doing a study on tri-life to see if it actually works, and we've got about three or four professors and about seven doctors now working with her, and they're really interested in like sort of the frontal cortex, and it's not fully developed until your mid-20s, and that's responsible for like for being able to like see ahead, and it's normally that's the reason why young people make mistakes. And if what we're interested in is, can we bring about behaviour change by using all the tricks of media to stimulate a response in the user? And will that translate? So if they see something and they're affected by it, will it actually bring about behaviour change in the real world? Like, if they're presented with that. We've had, the past year has been pretty crazy. We've had like sort of Jamie Oliver's company got in touch with her. He's taken me along to BBC3, who are going all digital. But you can see like sort of like that branch of narrative style of storytelling is what the games industry have been doing for a long time, and doing it really, really well. And where Tri-Life sits at the moment is we've got quite a lot of interest. Quite a lot of interest from the games industry. We've got quite a lot of interest from television industry and obviously health. But I think that's it. Has anyone got any?
Have you seen Will Interactive in the States?
No.
So all the research that they're doing in Oxford, it's a company that came out of the army. They're doing games very much like this for PTSD sufferers, and they've got ridiculous results on suicide prevention. But a lot of the science that Oxford were doing, that's what they based their games on.
Aye.
So it could be worth
discussing. Yeah, definitely. Aye. Their stuff. I know that they've been reaching out to like Yale and Stanford and stuff, and trying to find like someone that's actually got like a model that they can use for the basis of the research. Like, so it'd be good to check that out. Right?
Hi. When you first started, was it like were you working with other people, or were you on your own, or did you get a commission, or how did you get into?
Right. So what happened was the financial crisis had sort of crash had happened, and I was working in as a senior practitioner with Bernardo's, and there was 26 people in our team, and that team right, was like overstretched as it was, and we got stripped down to like sort of three people. So the chances of like I was trying to set it up as a charity, I tried to set it up like, but they were just all of the pots of money were completely obliterated. So I found out about some venture capitalist in Newcastle. It was ERDF money. It was European Regional Development Fund money, and I accessed it through. It's called North Star Ventures, by the way. And I managed to get proof of concept funding. And I sort of never really mentioned too much about the social conscience side of stuff. I sort of went and got proof of concept fund to see if we could actually do genuine branching narrative. And I think we received like 95k to start off with, then 50, then an extra 35. And that's what we created the first episode and the basic game engine with. And then we just spent like a lot of time just talking to the health authority and a lot of people. But nearly all of our commissions, we've just got another one in Leeds that we're going to be doing. They've all just come about like word of mouth or somebody that just understands it, you know what I mean?
So you sort of had to do it yourself before to show that you could be.
Aye, yeah. Any other question?
So it's an incredible piece of work, and it's amazing, but amazing project. What was the biggest waste of time of the whole either funding or?
Well, funding is an absolute nightmare. Like, if you, they'll tell you that it'll take like 3 to 4 months, and it'll take a year, basically. We made a lot of mistakes with the first episode because, like, we basically sat there for 5 months trying to map out how we would do it, and the map is absolutely huge. It's, like, ridiculous. And some of the things that we made mistakes on was, like, say, like, when we filmed the 9 different variations of the sexual health scene, we filmed the HIV scene second last. So we had, like, the two young actresses sat there crying their eyes out, and we're like, do it again, do it again. And then when we looked at the script, we realised that the next scene to film was the All Clear. So I had these two just crying their eyes out, all red eye and stuff like that, emotional wrecks and, like, so that kind of thing, like, put, like, an extra 3 hours on the day. But, like, we've managed to refine, like, the production process, like, quite a lot, and we're getting very efficient at it. And one of the things that we'll do is the script is constantly evolving, so we'll write the framework, we'll put the script in there, and then we'll... through the audition process, we'll have all of the young people come through, read off the script twice, and then improvise the scene twice, because like, they'll always come out with some funny shit, and it'll always make it into the script. It's so it's constantly evolving, like, the script. Aye.
Final question, sorry.
Could you just elaborate on the game, maybe, and how you got into it?
So, I'm not really much of a technology person, like, all I'd like focus on the creative side of stuff, really, but the engine was a bespoke engine. It was created, like, it was using, like, elements of Drupal, and basically it's our videos are hosted on Vimeo. We've got a Vimeo Pro account, that's where we host our videos, and the map, if you imagine, the map looks like a family tree. And the game engine will select the next scene in relation to whatever the choice was. Or if it's a random occurrence, we assign like a mathematical equation, like a 1 in 9, 1 in 5 chance, or whatever. But, aye. Thanks.